Good morning. Welcome to any of you who are visiting this morning, and I want to welcome you and extend an invitation to the Jonathan Edwards Room after our service. We have a wonderful fellowship time there, and hopefully everyone will come and join us. Also, if there's anyone in need of childcare, there is a wonderful room filled with toys and someone available to watch children. Are there any other announcements this morning?
Good morning. There are two things. Open Table starts again this week. We've been on hiatus for a month, and we're starting again. And anybody who would like to help on Thursdays, we can always use people to help prepare food, and to serve it, and to help clean up. And it's Thursdays at the Grange, just up the street here. 5:30 to 6:30 is when we serve. And anyone is welcome to come. It's a fun community time, and we'd love to have anybody come join us. Also, many of you have heard that Joyce Hovey is in the hospital after an injury. She's doing well. She hopes to get home this week. We would like to get people to bring a meal to her home every late afternoon. See me. I'll have a sign-up list out in the J.A. room. And if anybody would like to coordinate that, I would love to turn that over to someone. Thank you.
Hi.
Are there other announcements? Is there any announcement about the coming up event of the Women's League? The craft fair is coming up. They're having a craft event. Okay, there's no one that wants to make an announcement. Maybe Barbara. Barbara wants to say anything about that? And you're looking for people to help set up on Friday?
No.
Okay. Good. Yes.
I know Janet invited everybody to the Jonathan Edwards Room, but today it's special because we have a cake honoring our Vaughn Morin, our choir director, who is leaving us after today. So you must stay, and you must tell him how much we've appreciated his music. So please do, and it'll be in the Jonathan Edwards room. So it's extra special coffee hour.
Are there any other announcements? Then let us continue in worship.
In your bulletin, the call to worship. As a shepherd seeks a lost sheep,
so God seeks and saves the lost.
Like a woman who searches for a lost coin until it is found,
so God rejoices over one soul restored to wholeness.
As a father receives a returning wayward son,
so God welcomes us and lets the past be the past.
Therefore, let us praise God in thanksgiving that we are received.
Let us receive and welcome and rejoice over one another in the name of Jesus Christ.
The prayer of invocation. Let us pray. God of life, we rejoice in your love which has filled creation from the beginning and which calls all life into being. We praise you for Jesus Christ, who reveals most fully your loving purpose for all people. We bless you for your Spirit, who draws all humanity into the circle of your tender love. Gracious God, bless us with your presence so that our worship and our lives may be a true reflection of your love in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In the Hebrew scripture.
I'm skipping.
Hymn number 563. Lift every voice and sing. Now the Hebrew scripture reading from Exodus, and it's actually 32, 1 through 6, and 19 through 20, the golden calf. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be the festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. As soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot. And he threw the tablets from his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. So ends this reading.
And a reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have made ample good. You have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I was in my teens and early 20s, I used to get together with my cousins during the summer, and we go to hopping to all the tag sales. You know, you can see many of them along the sides of the roads. And my cousin Andy liked to fix things. And so he would go to the tag sales, and he would buy what he thought were antiques. And everything, though, was needed a little fixing. But he always said, "You know, I'm going to fix this up, and then it's going to be worth something." He dreamed one day that he'd sell all this and make himself a fortune. Well, these antiques that he kept buying every summer started piling up in his barn. And one day he realized he couldn't walk through his barn anymore. And then one day he had an even greater realization. When was he ever going to find time to fix all these things that were in his barn? So then he had two children who needed space in the barn for their toys. And then he had a real estate business to run. And these antiques that could one day be worth something were more trouble than they were worth. I think collecting things in our lives is a cyclical thing that happens in our lifespan. Over the course of our lifetime and over the course of the seasons, we collect things. We get interested in something and we collect it, but then our interest shifts. And we're just not quite ready to give up on the old interest, so we store it away. We put it in the garage or the basement or the attic. And then the years go by, and many interests later, voila, we have a barn, an attic, a basement filled with stuff we're never going to use. And when we're younger, we hold on to this fantasy that we're going to get to it. But as we get older and the years grow shorter and shorter, we realize that we're never going to get to this. And all this stuff that we've stored that was a treasure at one time now becomes a burden. It's not serving. It doesn't give us joy anymore. And so we're able to then start giving this stuff away, and we give it to our children and grandchildren, and then the collecting is passed on to the next generation. But perhaps you are at the place in your life when you're letting material things go, and you're enjoying the liberating feeling that comes with it. I had an artist friend, a sculpture artist friend, who lost everything in a fire, all of his personal belongings and all of his art. And people went to him with their condolences. "I'm so sorry, you've lost everything." And he said, "Don't feel sorry for me. This is a new beginning. You don't understand. I'm now liberated from all the past. I can begin anew." Well, perhaps you've come to that place where you realize that your home is no longer a castle, but just a place where you just need things that need to be fixed. And perhaps you're at a place where you're able to say that the sweater or the needlepoint that you've put aside, you're never going to be able to get to it, and so you bring it to the Salvation Army, where all the other unfinished projects end up. But if you're in this place where the need for material things has lost its grip, and you're able to freely give with no strings attached, you might be sitting there right now saying, "Well, finally, this is a teaching of Jesus I can follow." And you sit back in your pew, perhaps with a little pride. But possession is a sneaky little devil and can mask itself in many forms. And just as we possess material things, we also possess things that are less visible, like our ideas, our opinions, our ways of doing things, our loved ones, our children and our spouses, our pride in self-righteousness and our desire for power. These possessions are even more deadly because they consume us, but they can mask themselves as caring. And these possessions tear families apart and lead nations into war. You may be able to give away all of your material belongings and bring them to the Salvation Army, but God forbid someone crosses your pride on your drive home. The golden calf in the Hebrew scriptures is like the ring in J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. They're physical items that represent our dark desire for possession and power. The Hebrews were impatient when Moses went up the mountain. He didn't come down fast enough for them. They couldn't see him. They wanted something real and tangible. They wanted a golden calf that would glorify them and make them look good and powerful. We see in our own day how corrupting the lust for power can be, and we're all paying the price right now. The stock market has become our modern-day golden calf, but in the form of a bull. We see today how corrupting the lust for power and money is. The Romans had a proverb, money is like seawater. The more a person drinks, the thirstier they become. Many of us have seen our financial security crumble, but perhaps it has opened our eyes to see the places where our priorities have gone astray. Perhaps the words of Jesus can resound more clearly in our hearts. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure right now? And while we watch the destruction of our golden calf and our barns burning to the ground, something new is emerging. I hope you can sense it because I sense it. We are turning collectively to the beauty of simpler things. The meltdown of our golden calf, our golden bull, is causing us to turn and seek what is real and true. People are seeing the need to support each other, and in local communities, a new way of community is emerging, and it's really exciting. In Tolkien's book, The Hobbit, it was because of an act of compassion and mercy that the hobbit Bilbo was protected from the corrupting powers of the ring. In The Hobbit, Bilbo finds the ring in an underground cavern and keeps it, even after he realizes that it is the beloved object belonging to Gollum. And Gollum is this twisted character who's fallen completely under the spell of the golden ring. And with the power of the ring, Bilbo has the chance to murder Gollum. But instead, he is graced with a moment of mercy, of empathy for this miserable little creature. And later in the epic, Frodo, another character, has the opportunity again to kill Gollum. Yet he has a change of heart and chooses not to do so. It is his growing empathy that grants him the strength and courage to resist the power of the ring. When we suffer, we can see so much more clearly the suffering in others and know what to do for them. We have a choice today. Our suffering can lead us into despair for what we've lost, or we can turn our suffering into empathy for others and in turn grow in strength and courage. It is the compassion we share together here through Christ with one another and our neighbors that will save us from the power of possession. Amen. Let us sing this hymn. It's a beautiful hymn I remember from my childhood that I thought of as I was writing this sermon. A hymn written by Anne McKinstry. We've laid up earthly treasures, and you'll find it as an insert, handwritten, as she does all of her hymns.
Thank you.
You may be seated. And this is a time of prayer. This is a time to share our joys and our concerns. And so first, I'm going to ask you to relay your joys to me and then your concerns, and then I'll put them in a prayer for us. Are there any joys you wish to share? All right. Yes. Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. Okay. Yes, Michelle. Yes. Wonderful. And a time as well, where in the midst of joy, we bring our concerns for others in our congregation, our continued prayers for Ronnie Cunningham, and our prayers for Joyce as she recovers from her fall. Are there other names you'd like to mention at this time? Yes, let's pray for Steve on his trip. For Stephanie.
And Fran Ruthven, I think her mother is dying.
And for Fran, whose mother is ill. We'll begin in prayer, and then I'll mention the names and concerns and joys we've shared, and we'll enter into then a moment of silent meditation, and we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. In the light of your love, shining through the life of Jesus, O God, we offer ourselves to you. In the light of the world's need, for people who have love and compassion for one another, we offer ourselves to you. In the light of our desire to live unselfishly, we offer ourselves to you. Use us, O God, as instruments of your love to meet the needs of your family here on earth. Mold our lives so that the love and power of Christ may work through us. And renew the life of this congregation so that Christ may be seen more clearly in our midst. O God, we lift to you our joys of the love of family, of the birth of baby Jackson, and for Connor, the joy of family and of relationship, the 50th anniversary of Anne and John, the joy that we are open to all people, an open and affirming church, turning back no one, the joy of all that Vaughn has given us in his service of music, that special ministry here in our church. We're grateful for the time that he has been here, and we pray for his future journey in the life of music and ministry in the church. and the joy of seeing family gatherings this summer. May they be safe journeys for Tristan and seeing his brother and family, and for all those who are getting together and receiving family this summer. Oh. And in the midst of our joys, God, let us not forget those in need of our prayers. Wrap them right now in your love and your gentle care. We pray for Ronnie, for Joyce, for Steve, for Stephanie, and for Fran. We pray that each one receives what it is that they need, and that they feel surrounded and loved, and that each one of us becomes an instrument to give love and support that you offer. Let us enter now into then a moment of just silent meditation where we bring those prayers that we did not mention by name, but that we know you hear. O God of compassion, help us spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Let us thus praise you by shining your light on those around us. And may your love be a catching force influencing all that we do in this week to come. Hear us now, O God, as we pray the prayer which you taught your disciples. Let us join together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so freely we have received. Freely let us bring our offerings to God. God, accept these gifts of our earthly possessions that we give and lay them into your hands. Help us to follow them through with your will and bless them with your blessing. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Passing of the peace. Let us pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor. Hi, peace be with you. Hi. Greetings.
I almost said it was Vaughn Warren Sunday. It might as well be.
Good morning. Hi, peace be with you. Hi. Good to see you. Please be with you. Peace. Okay, I'm going to go up front.
That's the way to fly this time of year. It doesn't take any thought.
Peace be with you. And Robert and Tootie.
Oh no, but the one that was the insert.
Kayvon.
That's not
the Mary, peace be with you.
Peace, Janet.
Peace, yeah. Tracy. It's not going to be.
Okay.
It's not going to be. Vaughn changed it.
Okay.
So I'll announce that.